Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, obviously that was a good football team we just played. We weren't ready. There's no way that I think that's exactly what our football team is. That responsibility starts with me. I'll take responsibility for that. Well, I just think it came down to a lot of things, but when you really look at the tackling part of it, I mean, you guys, there's a lot of missed tackles. And when you have missed tackles on a defense, whether it's linebackers, back end, D linemen, you're going to get guys extending plays. You look at the third downs, I mean, that's an amazing statistic no matter who you're playing. We're going to go back and we're going to look at it. I mean, obviously, we're not as good as the first game, and I would like to think we're not as bad as the second game, that we're somewhere in the middle. Well, this is definitely humble pie. I mean, if I don't know what it tastes like, it probably tastes exactly the way I feel right now. So we'll go home, and we're still family, and we'll work on us, and hopefully the season will recover, and we'll be happy with what happens at the end of this when this is all done with the results. This is what I know. When the season starts, you're either considered a good team or a bad team. And it's normally based off of what the other team did the year before, which means it has nothing to do with your team and the team in the year that you're in. Now, all that's gone, and now we have to decide what the 2019 team's going to be. You don't have the memories of the 2018 season anymore after something like this. So now what kind of team is the 2019 football team going to be? All by themselves.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, as always, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. So, welcome back. We're on time this week. That's about the only good news we have for you. So, Maryland stuns the Orange 63-20 in a straight ass whooping, quite frankly, and SU drops to 1-1 heading into the home opener against Clemson. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. But first, before we go there, now, Joe, if you found $100 on the street, would you keep walking or would you pick it up? Of course you'd pick it up, because you lack integrity.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
No, my point is...
It'd be the same answer as last episode.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So my point is that you pick all the winners all the time, but you don't ever put money on them.
No, not last week.
Not last week. Good thing you didn't put money on it last week, but we're always picking winners. And you know what it's like. If you want to win some money off some of the picks you make, I suggest heading over to MyBookie. I wouldn't be telling you guys about this if they weren't good to me, and they have been. Now, if you don't know what online betting is all about, I suggest you check it out. If you do know what it's about, then you know what you're in for, and you know what the risks are. And I suggest you go over to MyBookie. So do the smart thing if you're going to bet on football this season. Bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? With MyBookie, will let you do that. If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. So, I mean, easy, right? Seems easy. If you're the kind of guy or gal that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try the parlay. If your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet this NFL season, this is the best time to bet of the year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit up to $1,000. Use the promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Thank you, MyBookie. So, Joe, Look.
What's up?
You know, you hear a lot of the rumblings of, well, you get the snark and you get the you know, oh, we're done. it's going to be it. You know, and you hear the, oh, it's just one game. The truth is it's somewhere in the middle, right? I mean, if you're being honest, usually you take the extremes, you go somewhere in the middle. I mean, heading into this game, the defense led me to believe from the Liberty game that this was going to be kind of a low-scoring game. Maryland, though, scores 6 on their first 7 drives. The opening drive for each squad kind of set the pace for the entire game, and the Orange were never close after it was 0-0. That was pretty much it. The Terps neared 400 yards of total offense in the first half, and the score, as we all know, was 42-13 going into the half. DeVito, I thought he did a little bit better this game against a tougher opponent. He was 71.8%, 28 for 39 for 330 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had the interception and he had the fumble. He was constantly flush outside the pocket, and it seems like once he's flush outside the pocket and the play breaks down, that pretty much it is what it is. When the play breaks down, it's broke. I haven't seen him really fix it. The likelihood of him doing so seems slim. So you're looking at a silver lining, though, Tristan Jackson, he was an absolute stud with 157 yards and 2 TDs. Mo Neal struggled, 3.9 yards a carry, totaled 48 yards, no touchdowns. And we'll hear, you know, again, we talk about the offensive line being an issue. So with all of that, with DeVito being flushed, with kind of not getting the run game going real good. So, Joe, the defense, it bit on a lot of the play actions and misdirection plays that Maryland offense offered, and they allowed 650 yards total, 354 of those rushing yards, -4 against Maryland, or against Liberty, and then Maryland's racks up 354. They allowed 73% third down conversion rate, which is, that's brutal, man. And they only forced 3 punts. So here's my question to you, Joe. Is this a cause for concern? Or is it that this defense maybe came to this game a little overconfident? Or maybe they just underestimated Maryland? It seems to me that Maryland putting up 79 points on Howard probably was legit, really wasn't a fluke. I think this offense with this grad transfer from Virginia Tech, Josh Jackson is, I mean, he's legit, man. He's legit.
Yeah.
And this offense is good.
Yeah. Like we talked about before, I just think, and I've always thought that these first 3 games of the season were going to be the most difficult. I think everything after that, this Clemson game works out pretty well schedule-wise for us. Every year in college football, you lose some people and most of the time you lose some important people from your starting lineups and your defense and your offense. So every year in the beginning, you know, there is kind of a struggle depending on how your camp goes. And we know that we did have some injuries there that kind of hindered some growth and cohesion in some of the units. It's mostly on offense. And also with these 2 first games, it's 2.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
brand new head coaches, brand new systems, playbooks. Maryland, they were really vanilla against Howard. They didn't have to really do anything crazy. Yeah. And
we really
haven't even had good tape to go off of for these coaches to really have the kids as ready as they usually would be if you had multiple games on tapes. You can try to get some tendencies and stuff like that and at least know what a team's going to do. So Maryland, they had players. They had some good players. I think last year they just had some things distract them, and they had some good games as well and some good wins. And you bring some graduate transfers in and bring in a different coach with a different type of culture, you know, him coming from Alabama, him being the Alabama offense coordinator. No one really knew what was going to happen. You know, we always looked at this as a trap game all throughout the off season. Your first two games away, not knowing what to expect, and the game right before Clemson, hoping that we're going to get game day and being 2-0 going into that game. And all in all, I think a lot of people knew that this was going to be a trap game. And
it kind of felt that way for a long time.
Yeah, right.
Plus, exactly. We didn't know. I mean, I think Maryland's legit. I wouldn't be surprised if they break into the top 25 soon. And I just think that...
I think they did.
Did actually. Okay, well, there you go. Right, I know like Syracuse is out. Or somewhere okay. Or all right, well, yeah. I think they're legit.
But you got to take... Yeah, I think they are too. And you got to take, obviously, the good with the bad. We did that last year. You know, we almost beat Clemson, turned around and then lost to Pittsburgh. And I'm sure that there were some fans that were talking about how, oh, the season's over. Oh, we're going to be an awful team, this and that. And we turned around and look what we did. So one loss isn't going to end the season. And on top of that, it's a non-conference loss. So even last year, you saw the progression with the linebackers and with other certain units. I remember our offensive line wasn't they still had some mishaps last year, the beginning of the year as well. So it happens. And I don't want to say it doesn't really upset me that much because, again, like he's talked about humble pie, you know, this is something that he can use to motivate them. And I'm just looking forward. You know, I just don't want to look back at this game. I don't want him to affect this Clemson game. I know Clemson's tough and it might not have anything to do with it. And if fate is we're going to lose and we start out the year 1-2, then so be it. But with these first three games, they got to get their stuff together and they got to get that cohesion so that they can attack the rest of the schedule, you know, after these first three games. But I always looked at this as a trap game and I was always so nervous about it.
Cohesion, cohesion, cohesion. We're going to keep hearing it until it's fixed. I feel like that the offense kind of right now, especially with Sam Heckel out, I feel like it is what it is. And it is the defense right. that is gonna help this team pull out the wins. And it's kind of what you see is what you get. But they're going to get better as the year goes on. And, you know, this Clemson game, as you mentioned, is a lot of, you know, overcome adversity. We've seen it happen before. 2 years ago, we came out of nowhere and did it. We weren't that great of a team then. You know, you're just getting used to this different feel with the quarterback. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, I mean, let's give the dude a chance. We keep comparing him to Dungy. He's not Dungy.
No.
You know, it's a totally different feel.
Yeah, and I heard comments talking about maybe we should go to the next guy and see who he's got. DeVito might not be the guy, or it's too fast for him. This is clearly a 6-6 team. You know, you hear stuff like that, and it's just like you can't. I mean, can't. A team isn't going to be what a team is going to be after 2 years.
He's on the run constantly.
Or 2 games.
Yes.
Oh, dude, yeah.
He's on the run constantly.
Realistically, if you look at his numbers, I mean, 28 of 39 for 330 yards.
Right. But that's not
touchdowns.
In. Yeah, three touchdowns, 330 three yards, 71.8%. That's really freaking
turnovers.
Good.
He had an interception, and he got, you know,
the fumble though.
Fumble from behind.
That's a fixable thing, and the interception was a bad decision. That's just being in this position.
I think that was a bad decision, but I think the receiver gave up a little bit too, and I think that's one of
he was out of bounds.
This is one of the main problems right now with that is like think that right now the offense is learning how to like get along without Dungy, because when Dungy moved the pocket like that, what did he do? He ran.
Yeah.
So I don't think the receivers really needed to worry about scrambling, getting open, doing the scramble drill and start running toward and try to get themselves open and work themselves open back toward the quarterback. you know, that's what receivers are taught to do from a very, I mean, high school and even earlier level. So I think that's something that the receivers are struggling with still, because again, it was usually when Dungy was rolling out like that,
he was taking off.
He had tunnel vision and he was taking off. That's not DeVito's game. He tries to extend the play and try to hopefully have some of his receivers break off into an open area so that he can, you know, ad lib something and maybe make a play, you know. What? But if not, he's going to be smart and throw it away. And I think that's what he was trying to do, was get close to the receiver slash throw it away. And it was just an errant pass that one.
It was an errant pass on the run. And
I don't think you can really blame him for that. I mean, that game, especially looking at the way that he kept his poise and really didn't, collapse.
He showed some maturity in both games, quite honestly. Because, I mean, right. They both weren't. Like, if you look at his stats, they look really good. His stats look great. But when you put it in the context of the game, a lot of those yards, those chunks of yards came on the three drives where we actually scored. And those drives looked really good.
They were fast. Pretty balls where you can throw the guys open in open spots.
The over the shoulder throw to Tristan Jackson, that long one he had, that was beautiful. And he's got it. We know he's got it. We know the precision is there. We know the accuracy is there. The problem is he's got that fast.
That's the problem too. Is, you know, we do rely on trying to get. They talked about getting a run.
Well, it was the turnovers.
Game.
Both turnovers cost 14 points.
Well, but not only that, but I mean, just, you know, we talked about having a run game. And, you know, trying to start our offense with the run game so, you know, that we can use some play action with Tommy and stuff like that. And when you go down that fast, then you can't really run the ball that much. You know what I mean?
No, we got to throw it. And Coach was asked about that. I didn't even put it in the montage, but you could tell how frustrated he was because he's like, I mean, hello, we're trying to save clock. You know, you don't want to just run the clock out by running the ball.
You're losing 35-13 in the first half, and it's like, you know, what do you want?
You have to throw the ball. And, you know, maybe a turnover or a quick stop or three and out or something. But no, that's not what happened. And Maryland set the pace for that game at the beginning of the first half and the beginning of the second half. So you're playing catch up the entire time. Basically, what they were trying to do is stop the freaking bleeding. And unfortunately, they weren't even able to do that. So.
Yeah, but it was nice to see DeVito and Tristan Jackson fix some stuff, obviously.
Yeah, because that's a connection, dude, that's going to be freaking... Yeah,
and I think Sam Hechtel obviously being out, I think, hurt our lineup pretty good.
Yeah.
As far as offensive line-wise, so...
Absolutely. You've got guys...
Game two, the second different starting lineup, so we'll see how that goes as the season goes. You want to be able to start and finish games with a full unit, and that's how offensive lines and units and teams grow.
Yeah, and it kind of
being able to get the reps. So, and that was another thing that was telling from that press conference. I don't know if you heard it or caught it. Was when he was talking about the players and how, you know, if I say four, I don't mean three, or if I say blue, I don't mean yellow, or, you know, something like what he's talking about with that. And I think without really coming out and saying it, and you know, the people that really know are they're going to catch it, but that was kind of him saying that they got down fast and there was players that were out there trying to do too much, that they're calling plays so that, you know, players had certain things that they had to do on that play, and they were doing something different because they were out there trying to make
a play.
They're
doing too
much. Coming back and biting you, and you know, and that's how when you set up plays on offense and on defense, you know, it's set up to where, depending on what happens on the other side, you know, you have a responsibility. And if everybody does their responsibility, and a majority of the players on your side win that responsibility in that matchup, then a lot of times it's a positive play. And if some players start going rogue because they want to try to make a spectacular play and not do their job,
so the holes open up.
Hang their guys out to dry. And I think just by him saying that, I think that there was a lot of that on defense as well. I think that was one of the reasons why they ended up scoring more, was that after we got down, I think there were some guys that were trying to make, you know, maybe just getting out of where they're supposed to be, not lined up right, or, you know, just...
It's like panic mode, basically.
Yeah, panic mode, trying to make a play.
Yes, trying to get the interception, they're over-pursuing
right.
the offense.
Or trying to make a big play,
missing tackles, and they're just sacking, out of position.
Right, trying to go get a sack and not filling your gap, you know, stuff like that, and then a big play happens, just stuff like that, and I think that that's why the bleeding got worse, to be perfectly honest with you. And again, that's just something that we just got to learn, you know. Well, and another thing with tackling, same thing. Linebackers last year, we went through a little spell with our linebackers not being able to tackle. I mean, hell, that's why we lost to Clemson in that fourth quarter. We couldn't tackle anything.
ETN.
So, I mean, again, game two, there's going to be some things we got to iron out. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the growing pains. So
the season just started really fast. You had Liberty, and then boom, Maryland was a surprise. You got number one Clemson coming into the dome. It's going to be huge. You know, I saw a lot of tweets and a lot of social media stuff. It says StubHub's being flooded with Clemson tickets all of a sudden. People are just jumping ship. And it's like, this is the thing with the Syracuse fans. And look, I understand some of it, but on one hand, it's like, boo-hoo. Like, you know, put your big boy pants on. Get over it. The team's going to get over it. Lakeem Williams put out a tweet yesterday. It was like, look, heads up, man. Let's do this. We're going to grow from this, basically. You know, basically is the gist of it. But, I mean, let's go. Support our team, you know? I mean, I understand. Yeah. Look, I was pissed. Yesterday was awful. Yeah. That was terrible.
It was hard.
It was really hard.
Hard pill to swallow, but again,
it was embarrassing. Let's be honest.
Well, and that's a motivation.
Absolutely.
Because that's what happens. That's what you see. I mean, we've seen seasons where we've beaten Clemson and then turned around and lost every single game after that. And then you see seasons like last year.
That was
year
a 4-8 season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you see seasons last year where we lost a close game, heartbreaker to Clemson, and then turn around and lose another heartbreaker to Pittsburgh back-to-back, and then turn around and turn our season into what it was. So one game isn't going to define this team, especially early and especially non-conference. Because, again, I mean,
the key is early, Joe.
We're finally playing a team where we actually have tape. We can actually get a good feel of what the other team does. Now, if we can put a game plan out there to stop it, that's another thing. But if we turn around and, I mean, no one expected us to beat Clemson 2 years ago. And we're closer to Clemson than we were 2 years ago. So if we turn around and shock the world next week, then we're in the driver's seat as far as in the ACC, as far as our division goes. So they have completely erased the Maryland game. I mean, we've talked about that before.
The score, too, which who cares?
Again, we just got to mark this up as just a learning a learning experience, hopefully a motivation experience, and not let it ruin this season. You know, we don't want it to ruin our confidence for the rest of the season. So that can't happen.
Joe, you didn't really answer my question.
Oh, God.
Is it a cause for concern, or was the defense just out of place? Was it just poorly coached? Did they underestimate Maryland?
Yes.
The defense is what we think it is.
I think they were underprepared. I think that they underestimated them. I think that Maryland's better than what they are. And I don't believe that Syracuse's defense is as bad as what they showed, especially like what I talked about with at some one point, you know, certain points, players trying to do too much and getting out of position and getting beat themselves and making it easier for Maryland to score. So that's not the defense you're going to see every week. And
well, that defense has a ton of talent on it. I mean, they're only going to get better. Yeah, they're going to learn from this. There's tape to watch. And right.
There's more than one reason why things went down.
Exactly. Well, there always is. There always is.
And I'll tell you what, the top five reasons weren't Tommy DeVito. Maybe even the top 10.
I totally agree. In context of the game, he had some mistakes. But like I said in the beginning, Tommy DeVito actually played a pretty good game. And, you know, it's just part of the learning curve. He actually played a decent game, but
well, considering that our defense couldn't stop them, the
offensive line did not help DeVito out like at all.
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, when the other team scores 42 points in the first half, and the offensive line doesn't give you time, and you're on the run, and then you can't formulate a running game because you're getting killed. Yeah, I consider out of all those things, I consider he did pretty good.
Yeah. So, all right, are you ready to do some fan feedback or what?
No, not really.
No? Okay. That's too bad. By the way, Syracuse did extend its consecutive games with a turnover for the defense at 16. That is the fourth largest
streak. Great catch, by the way.
Yeah, Cisco's interception. It was beautiful. That is the fourth longest streak in the country currently. Also, the 63 points were the most ever by Maryland against a ranked opponent. So a little good, a little stinger. It is what it is.
I'm telling you, I think Maryland's going to surprise some teams this year. That's all I'm saying.
I think they already did.
Well, I think more.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, y'all know what to do. Go to @QSMilitia on the socials, and I propose a question at the end of every game. You answer it, and we try to talk about it. Thank you, everybody, for commenting. There was a ton. It was really hard. It took me probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes to like find 10. And I found, I mean, there was like 20, and I like tried to have to whittle this down. It's really tough. So the call in stuff, we have the number. The number is, look, there was two problems yesterday with this. It took me a long time to figure out how to get the number to do this so that we could do this and we could all hear one another and you could call right into my computer. And the other thing was the hurricane tore up Virginia Beach. I had no power for almost 2 days. So I didn't get my power on until late last night. And I was ready. I had a generator and everything out here, but I like tested the mic and everything. I'm in the back of the house. The generator is like right outside this door back here. And I don't know. So anyways, it was kind of hectic. And so
I think that Syracuse game gave me a migraine. So.
And Joe had a migraine. So he's got a migraine tonight, too, after the Giants. I'm just saying.
No,
so,
no, I don't. That was expected.
So anyway, what we're going to try to do is I don't know how much anybody wanted to talk about that game, to be honest with you. So what we'll try to do is maybe we'll throw something out on social media to call in for pregame on Clemson. And we'll see how it goes. So
I think people are going to want to talk after.
I mean, you're looking at the Clemson preview. Maryland's in the rearview mirror. You know, it is what it is. So anyway, hey Joe, I don't know if you've heard me mention this before. Maybe you have.
No, probably.
Maybe you have not. I don't know. Do you know 75% of our audience is males? That means the other 25% are cringing right now. So because they know what I'm about to talk about, if you've listened. So here's the thing. Do you guys out there, you want to increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed? If you do, if your wife's complaining, listen up. This is what you got to do. You got to go to BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, on a full or empty stomach. And since they are chewable, they work twice as fast as a regular pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence when it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. Okay, that's the best part for Joe. That's what he loves. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special offer for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use a special promo code ARMCHAIR. You just pay the $5 shipping. 6 pills, $5. Do it. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR and try it for free. $5 shipping. So, BlueChew is better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for their sponsorship of the Q's Militia podcast. And as always, go to MyBookie, check them out. They are going to double your deposit right now up to $1,000. Just use the promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and what happens after that? You get paid. So, as everybody knows, right, Joe?
Nope.
You're the worst. All right, so here's the deal. We got some fan feedback. Twitter was awesome with the fan feedback, so hats off. Twitter wins the feedback wars this week because they were just great. So I'm going to start with Twitter. Man, I don't know where to start. You know what I'm going to start with? I'm gonna say, you know what else I'm gonna do too, Joe? You know what I'm thinking? Just so everybody knows.
Blue shoe?
No, not tonight. Not tonight. I need sleep. So because sometimes this is really hard to pick these, you know. So what we're gonna do is the one with the most likes is definitely getting in. After that, I'm gonna pick the other nine. How's that sound? Let's start with @TonyStaffieri. He says, "This team is not who we thought they were. The phrase only one game will be uttered all week, but waiting outside Gate B at the Dome next Saturday is the best team in the country." Joe.
Yeah.
Only one game? You buying that?
Might be two. But
I think it's going to, unfortunately, like we discussed, the offense right now, especially with Sam Hecklow, the offense is what you see is what you're going to get. And that's why we rely so much on the defense.
I still feel like you can always get better. I think
absolutely.
You're dealing with NFL, absolutely. Everyone's professionals. You can do draft free agency. You can change. You can go from worst to first in a year. But when it comes to college, it takes time for these kids to actually grow. And it's just funny because sometimes just right in the middle of a game or a season, something can just click and can change everything. So the more they play, the better they're going to get. And that's kind of the way that it works in college, especially when you change over three starting offensive linemen and a quarterback. So we're used to Dungy, and I think we overestimated some of the things that we were going to miss with him. And I think some of the players on the offense out in the field did as well, because Tommy's not going to run and dive and do all that stuff that Dungy does did all the time.
Nor should he.
No, he definitely shouldn't. So the offense is different. It's going to change, and it's going to take a little bit of time when you bring in new people. So yeah. Is it going to get changed overnight? Is it going to get changed for Clemson for number one? I don't know.
It's going to be tough.
You know,
it's going to be tough.
I mean, when we beat Clemson the first time, they didn't play their best game, and that's kind of what it needs to happen if you're going to beat the number one team. That's what needed to happen anyway, even if we were to beat Maryland.
Any given Saturday. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I don't expect our defense to play. I bet you our defense plays better against Clemson than they did Maryland. I'd put $500 on it right now. I'm not going to, but I would.
No. Well, usually you see a team when they perform like that, they are not happy with themselves, and they make sure they come back to make sure that they don't get made to look like that again. Because that's pretty embarrassing, especially when you're on national television, when you're an athlete like that. So you want to compete, you want to win. You were a ranked team, and you know they're going to go back to the drawing board, but they're not going to be, you know, Clemson's not going to be getting a happy Syracuse defense next week. Doesn't mean that they can't score, but you know.
Well, I mean,
it's going to be different. Like I'm saying, cohesion. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough go for a little bit. But @JCarpenter74, if you told me Tommy goes 28 for 39 for 330 yards and three TDs and only one pick with the way the defense played last week at Liberty, I'd say we'd win. But the defense didn't show up with the exception of the Cisco pick. Yeah, I mean, 8 sacks last week, 1 sack this week. Jackson just carved him up. He had a QB rating of 141.5.
Yeah.
I mean,
that looks good in that system.
It's scary.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Players, playmakers all around. That McFarland kid was really good. They had a couple good running backs, a couple good receivers.
He got injured last year early in the season, too. And, you know, he's getting another year to play. So, huh?
Who's that?
Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
He got one when he's playing for Virginia Tech at Old Dominion, actually. That was the game Old Dominion actually upset Virginia Tech last year. So at JLong591, people are getting so damn worked up about not getting game day. It's a 3-hour morning football TV show. Hope the team comes back pissed off and the crowd shows up and plays Clemson close once again. The outrage about the game day thing was an actual thing yesterday, last evening.
Right.
And I understand it. I'm on, like, here's me in game day. Like, okay, that would be cool, but I don't care. Like, I don't care if they make a spectacle, you know, on SU campus or not. right? I mean, you think Lou Corso is going to put on the Otto costume anyway? You know, you want Lou Corso out there, he's going to put on a tiger, and then what? So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's great. Yeah. It's great publicity for the team. It's great national recognition. But the game is, what, 7:30 on Saturday night anyway, right?
So, yeah, it's on prime time. It's going to be the number one team in the country. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo any fans or this or that, but, you know, we have our certain opinions about certain fans, and so do other people as well. And, I mean, when people talk like that, you make it sound like the only reason you're going to go to the Clemson game was because game day was going to be there. Otherwise, who really cares?
Listen, the players see all this stuff. And I know many people don't care, but many people don't actually use their real names and things like that. Look, and here's the thing. Right. Do what you want. And I love you all. And look, here's the thing. I'm fine with everybody. I'm fine with people trashing the team. I'm fine with people being overly homer and ridiculous that Syracuse can do no wrong. I'm fine with all that. I love all that. But the fact is, you're seeing all these tickets go on sale on StubHub. I mean, come on. The jumping ship, second game of the season. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I don't know.
And that's why I'm not. That's why I don't care.
That's why I don't care either. It sucks. There is no doubt about it. It sucks. But
no, like I said, I mean, it's more or less like it's those fans. I mean, who's to know how many of those fans that are doing that anyway are just those fair weather fans that are going to talk that probably weren't even going to the game to begin with. Like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have someone like me or you, right? Like, it would have been nice to watch it on TV because we live out of state. Of course, we weren't going to go to game day if it was there.
Right.
But
and I get the aspect of being there.
How many of these fans that are
poo-pooing
this whole game day thing, how many were even going to go? And then on top of that, if you're a fan that was only going to go because game day was going there, then, like, whatever. Like, it is what it is. Like I said, I mean, one game, like, those are the fans that haven't been cheering or watching the past couple of years, that haven't been on the, you know, gone through the tough times or seen this whole thing come up. They just want to bandwagon off this one year and hope that, what, we win every game. And if we don't, then what, you're going to not come anymore? Like, we don't need that.
I mean, we heard all the rumblings of playoffs.
No team needs that.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry that your expectations got flown out of proportion. Well, and I don't know where you got it from. Wasn't listening to us.
It wasn't. But I was just going to say that. Your expectations were the defense is going to be pretty good, or should have been if you listen. The defense is going to be pretty good, probably improve. The offense is going to be a work in progress until it gets figured out. That's pretty much what we said. So, and I'm not trying to coin myself as some expert, but, I mean, Joe is. I'll coin Joe as the expert. At Keen WJ Bill, he says, defense, which is their alleged strength, got their ass kicked by Maryland. Offensive line was awful. Hopefully they enjoyed the ranking for the split second they had it. Had to worry when they only scored 24 versus Liberty, and Maryland racked up 79 at, who was it? Howard.
So,
it's cut off here. So, yeah, I think I was a little worried when they only put 24 on Liberty, but the defense gave me hope. That's why I thought it was kind of going to be a low scoring game. But like I said, Josh Jackson, man, I mean, he just kind of crushed it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette put more on Liberty this week than we did. But
yeah, see, I mean.
Yeah, but I mean that's an interesting kind of scheme that they had too with the Josh with the run pass option they had.
But they had tape to look at as well.
Yeah. And they forced our guys to play out in space, and we had to be very, very disciplined in what we were supposed to do, and obviously we weren't, and obviously it took a little while for us to kind of figure out what they were doing anyway, and by that time we had guys trying to make too many big plays, and our offense wasn't keeping up with their offense, and it just went downhill. So again, that's one of those things that you learn from, and I guarantee you it's not going to be an easy week of practice, but I bet you it's going to be well worth it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you know, you grow from these things. That's all we can hope for. So, at the big E underscore 228, he says Clemson 70, Clemson 70, Syracuse 7.
It's awful.
It's terrible. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But, you know.
Out of all the stuff that you could have picked, you said there were so many things. You only picked 10 and you picked that one?
There were so many like that. I had to put one of them in. Come on. So, come on. That's funny. So, anyway, have a sense of humor.
It's not going to be that.
I know, and he's obviously joking, too. I hope so. At DFIN01, we made their offense look like it's the best in the country, or are they? Halfway through the game, their crowd was chanting, overrated. We just might be that. Well, obviously, we were. We were overrated. I don't think, looking back on the first two games, that we should have been in the top 25. They base all of that off of what you did in the previous year and kind of an expectation of what's to come. And, you know, the expectations were there, I think, that it was legit to be in the top 25. Overrated? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
Well, and it's, yeah, and it's that's what makes college football so tough, because you can have a couple injuries here or lose a couple games early, and by the end of the year, you could probably be one of the better teams. So, not to say that we can't be a top 25 team by the end of the year, but I would say we were more overrated based upon the expectations that were thrown on us
for 2019, more so than what we did last year.
And who's to say, who's to say that Maryland, I mean, right now, statistically and points wise, they are number one offense in the country. So, who's to say that they're not just a way better team? Who's to say they're not a top 15 team that just caught us on a bad day?
Yeah, absolutely.
At third place, you know. So, like I said, I'm not worried. It's a non-conference game. We're going to grow from this.
I've got a couple more. You guys want to keep going? I had so many. I got to do this one. I got to do those two for Facebook. Let me do this. At coach,
do it.
I'm trying. At coach V8, sometimes a good ass kicking is exactly what a team needs. It appears that they all have been reading their press clippings on how good they are. Get back to work and see you in the dome next Saturday. Basically, what he's saying is what we're saying. They kind of underestimated, maybe the defense underestimated Maryland a little bit, but is Maryland that good? Like DFIN01 said, I think they are. I think Maryland, like you said, Joe, coming into this segment, they're going to surprise more teams other than Syracuse. So that offense is, you know, you're talking about the offensive coordinator from Alabama, folks. Okay? He was there for what, three full seasons, right? 15, 16, 17, right? Or was it 16, 17, 18? Either way, it's three or four seasons. So, you're coaching under Nick Saban and running that offense. I mean, you're going to learn a lot and you're going to develop. And he obviously deserves to be a head coach, in my opinion.
Yeah. Honestly, if anything, this just tells more of Dino Babers' press conferences and some of his quotes from the offseason. It's a lot more telling, because he didn't seem as confident as everybody else, you know, and all the media and what they were saying, and based upon what happened last year, he just didn't come off as confident. And he'd always talk about, you know, well, the defense is ahead of the offense, and, you know, we'll see what we got, and say stuff like he always didn't, and he talked like he was worried about injuries and cohesion because, you know, Heckle wasn't there and some of the receivers weren't there. Nykeem Johnson wasn't there most of the time. Like he never sounded sold. He didn't sound as he hasn't sounded so as excited this offseason as he did last year.
Yeah.
And I think that it's one of those things too, when sometimes, you know, as teenagers and young adults, they like to think they know it all and they're untouchable and they don't want to listen to the old adults because, oh, you don't know. And I think they went through a great season last year and they might have got some, they might be a little overconfident. And I'm not saying that a coach would want their teams to lose, but when a coach sees an overconfident team and a team that doesn't want to maybe listen to them and they might think they're better than what they are, they know that a loss is coming. Not to say that they're going to set one up, but it eventually happens like this, like exactly like this comment. Like sometimes you get overconfident and you get your butts, you get your butt whooped, and that's when you actually get a little bit of you know, like what Dino said, humble pie.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes right back to that, Joe. I was just going to say that. So, you know, better to get it now than later. So, exactly. So, here's one. At Oil Cuse, our buddy Captain Patrick, he says, I pick Cuse to lose at Maryland. Check your predictions tweets. Okay, I believe you, Cap. I believe you.
Yeah.
The sky isn't... You remember that, right? I remember
when
that.
I picked my predictions, I mean... Like I said, I was basically going back and forth between 9-3 and 8-4, and Clemson and Maryland were two of my losses.
Okay, all right. So I didn't have them losing against Maryland, so I'm not going to act like I did. But good on Captain Patrick here. He says the sky isn't falling. I still think we go 9-3. The defense was a disappointment. Now this is a level-headed, very rational comment after just. Probably 10 minutes after that loss.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I could buy into that tweet. I could buy into that all day. Yeah. So.
It's very rational after 10 minutes. I mean, I think after a while, I watched the whole game, but I was, I don't want to say at peace. I was upset at the beginning, and then there was a point where I was like, okay, well, maybe we can get it close. Let's get to 20-35 before halftime, and maybe we can do something,
make some
halftime
hoping.
Adjustments, you know, something like that. But, it just wasn't meant to be, and when I finally realized that in the second half, I just realized that obviously this team isn't either they're overconfident or they're not all putting in the amount of effort they need, or they just need time to just, you know, mesh. So I was kind of at peace with it coming to fourth quarter. So I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
I got two more. We're going to just do these two Facebook ones real quick. Rocco and Zach made the Facebook cut, the only two, and I apologize, but Twitter was just so good after this game, so I went with most of those. Rocco says, absolute freaking disaster, changed my entire outlook on the season. The goal is to go 7-5 or better now. Well, or better now, yeah, obviously, but 7-5, I mean... I think
you got to be realistic, right? I want to win every game, right? So start off is, I mean, if I were to make a prediction, it would be realistic.
8-4?
I'd go through like what I said, right?
Yeah.
But since we started the season, I want to go 12-0.
Right. Sure.
And if we lose a game, okay, I want to go 11-1.
Now you want to go 11-1.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can change. I mean, you can talk about your realistic one or whatever. Like last year, I think there's a lot of people that thought we were going to end up a lot worse after we lost that Clemson and Pittsburgh game, and we went on a little run and we won some games. And there's no reason why that can't happen again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So Rocco, I mean, I get it, but I don't know.
Hey, Rocco.
7-5, I don't know. I could see 7-5. That's why I don't want to argue with it. Right?
Yeah,
right?
100%.
So, okay.
But again, I mean, that's a regression from last year. But again, considering that it's a change of a quarterback and a change of a little bit of a culture.
Offensive scheme, you know, period. The whole offensive scheme has changed. So
right. Well, I mean, it's just, that's what it is in football. That's what it is. Like, it's always... If you were the changing of the guards of quarterback, it could be ugly.
It's college football.
Until you get, it's even in NFL.
Yeah, well, they're more solid in the NFL, let's be honest.
No, not always.
I mean, not when Eli gets pulled for Danny, whatever the hell.
How long have the Bills been trying? They've been searching for a damn starting quarterback.
It's like 10 years. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So until you get that solidified, then it could be ugly. And we got it solidified with Dungy and Nassib, who are two recent better quarterbacks, and they got us to near the end of their careers, 8, 9, 10 win seasons in bowl games.
Right.
So it takes time. It's not just like we can't flip a switch and, oh, we got...
No, absolutely. And especially with where we're at anyway in the rebuild that Dino has gone through.
Right. So DeVito's got 3 years, and if his first year at the helm, he turns around and goes 7-5 and we make a bowl game, go 8-5.
It's not terrible.
That's pretty good, and he's still got two more years at the helm.
Absolutely. And Cisco was what? He's a sophomore this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean
we know we're bringing
lot...
in talent. So, I mean, again, yeah.
Zach says, wasn't expecting that big, wasn't expecting that big of a kink in the armor, but I am, I've been doing so good, Joe, you know what, wrap it around and yourself, because, because I've been doing so good. Wasn't expecting that big of a kink in the armor, but I am reminded there are a lot of new faces. I think the problem is we shouldn't have been so hyped this year. This is a learning year. I'm happy with a bowl. So Zach's happy going 6-6, guys. Okay? You know, lots of new faces. The offensive line doesn't have the cohesion. And it kind of
is. Word of the day.
Word of the year.
Yeah, word of the year. So far.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Zach's happy with 6-6. I'm happy with 6-6 in a bowl. Problem is, I don't know where that bowl would be. I was trying to make the bowl game. So, an orange bowl, like, that's kind of what I'm still shooting for.
The bourbon bowl.
The poo bowl. So, anyway, that's it, Joe. What do you got? You got anything else? I'm going to take that as a no.
Tough, long week. I'm so glad that football is back. So glad. But with that Syracuse loss and the Giants loss, and
the Giants got handled today. Hey, shout out to
teams didn't work out too great. Tyreek Hill going down.
At Tony Q's 44, by the way, Dallas fan. So
there's a lot of them out there. Yeah,
There's a
Dallas
bunch
is
of them.
Good,
Dak but there's Prescott a bunch of them. And great. just for the record, Tony's Syracuse water boy. It just for the record. Dallas fans usually annoy the hell out of me, but for some reason this guy doesn't. But it's okay.
That's because he's a Syracuse fan.
I know. I think that's what does it. If he wasn't a Syracuse fan, it'd be a different story. But anyway, that's all we got. That's all we got, Joe. We're going to be back here. We want to try to take calls if we can. We're going to have some guests on. We're going to make it a big to-do. We're going to try to make it a big to-do for the Clemson pregame. Yeah, we are.
Okay. What day is that going to be, you know?
It might be over the course of a couple days. I don't know yet.
Okay. All right.
Just saying, it might be easier to break it up, and we'll put it together for everybody. Hopefully, we'll get that out Wednesday evening for you, which would be a day late. But, I mean, it is Clemson, and we want to kind of try to give some voices and have some fun with it. So,
well, when you figure out the time, just get with my secretary.
Yeah, yeah. Her name is Joe. I will text her just like
random.
I normally do.
It's Mary Jo, but we call her Jo.
Okay. Thank you to MyBookie. Thank you to Blue Chew. Thank you to Armchair Media. Thanks to all of you for participating in fan feedback, for listening to the show. We couldn't do it without you. We love you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.